At some point somewhere, in some newscast, in some state, somebody's going to say these words. Santa is on his way. We have tracked him from the North Pole, and he's heading in this direction. Almost certain to say that. It happens every year. They have tracked the old fella, and they know where he's going, and kids everywhere breathe a sigh of relief. Okay, that means I'm going to get my gifts after all. Tracking systems are a good thing. We have pretty sophisticated tracking systems these days, don't we? Susan and I had a package that we had sent last week, and we checked the tracking number today and found something was up. So we had to check into it and find out what was going on. And it had not been delivered when it was supposed to be, which was Monday, which is yesterday. And then instead it had to be resent, and now will be received on Friday. It's okay. At least we knew where it was going. At least we knew that it was still around. It hadn't just evaporated into thin air. Because we had a tracking system. We had a way to know. The shepherds in the field had a tracking system. Their tracking system were the angels who told them, this is where you will find the baby. And without ever saying so, they implied strongly that the shepherds needed to get moving and go find that child. So the shepherds immediately started tracking. Now, probably, first century shepherds were really good trackers. They probably had to be in order to find lost sheep, in order to be aware of predators. They had to be very, very cognizant of their environment. So they don't seem to have had much trouble finding the baby. And when they did, Luke 2 tells us they spread the word. That's the phrase. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. We've been working on this passage for the last 4 weeks. This is the fifth message in that series and the final one. And we have said a great many things about this interaction between the angels and the shepherds. We have said, for example, that probably the reason why they just took off and left the sheep out in the field was they figured that, well, if God can send an angel to show up to tell us where to go to find this baby, God can take care of the sheep. And he apparently wants us to leave, so out we go. And we read here in this part of the story that there are three responses. The response of the townspeople, the response of Mary, and the response of the shepherds. The townspeople didn't go anywhere. They stayed right where they were in town. They may have gone to the manger itself. And their basic response was wonder. They were amazed at all this that it could be. Everything that the shepherds had said. Now, they had not seen the angels. They did not hear the message. In all probability, what happened in the village was far away from what happened in the field. And yet they were amazed. And that's a legitimate response to the coming of the baby. A legitimate, appropriate response. But we're not going to talk any more about the townspeople tonight. Mary had already made her trip, and now she sits, and the Bible says, ponders. She treasures up all these things in her heart, and she thinks about them deeply. In all likelihood, Mary was the one who got this story out. She is the reason that we know of it. But we're not going to talk any more about Mary. Not tonight. Her response is legitimate. Townspeople's response is legitimate. But spreading the news takes the shepherds. They had to actually get up and go because it's important, and this is the first line of your outline. I gave Susan a night off from putting the outline up on the screen, so we'll just track it through. Listen to God, but don't just listen. They needed to hear what God said, and they did. They listened to what the angel said. There's no record that they said anything. They were completely silent. Of course, if you're in the company of angels, that's probably a very smart response. So they just listened to everything, and when it was all over, when the angels had literally gone up into heaven, when they had literally risen, because Luke is very careful about how he says things, and especially how he talks about who comes in and who comes out and all this sort of stuff, and he says they went up into heaven. So it's kind of like they just rose like a celestial rocket ship of people. And then the field was quiet again, except for the shepherds. And the shepherds turn to one another and say, hey, we got to go. And we're out of here. Because they didn't just listen. They got up. They moved out. And they went to the village. They listened to the angels, and then they made sure everyone around them listened to them. They passed the story on. They had seen the angels, but they had not yet seen the baby. So they didn't linger in the field. They left. They had people to tell. And wherever we are in our lives, at any given day, our task is to not just linger, but to find the Christ child and make him known, especially at Christmas. You see, at that point, we are not angels. We will never be. Angels and humans are not the same. But we can be what the angels did. The word angel means messenger, and we become the messengers. We have a story to tell. And it is a thrilling story. And we need to tell it every Christmas, and we need to tell it between Christmases as well. In fact, they were so excited about the message they had told that when they were done telling everybody, they still weren't done, so they ended up telling each other again what had gone on, even though they had already seen it. It says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I couldn't stop talking. So often, we can stop talking. We don't say what we could say. I was talking in Contenders about this on Sunday, that I had a colleague who is Muslim. And I kept thinking about whether or not I should wish him a Merry Christmas. I know he doesn't celebrate Christmas, but he, you know, may do something on Christmas. And I tried four different ways to try to say something to him that ended up being Merry Christmas. And I'm not entirely sure I got it done, even on four tries. It's so easy to give yourself an excuse and say, well, I don't really need to tell this person. Not this time. Maybe later. A couple of weeks ago, I walked past the Salvation Army kettle and I had no change. So I said to the young gentleman who was ringing the bell, it was a little boy, I said, I'll be back as soon as I come out of the store. I'll give you some money, I promise. I came out and they were gone. Their time was up, their shift was over, and they had left. I had a moment. I had a chance. I didn't do it. So when you have the moment and you have the chance, spread the news. The shepherds did what the angels wanted them to do. It says in verse 16, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. We talked about this a little bit on Sunday, that my one of my great heroes in the faith, a fellow named Dallas Willard, says that you should pursue the relentless elimination of hurry in your life. You should relentlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And I think that's mostly good advice. I think we rush around too much. I know I do. And we push things up to the limit. And as a result, we miss things. And it's too stressful. But I also think there are times when you have to hurry. And this is one of them. Hurry to Jesus. The shepherds were compelled. This was too great to wait. Oh, by the way, this is the second line in the outline. Under listen to God, this is hurry to Jesus. There are a lot of suddenlies in this passage. In Luke 1, it says that Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea to talk to Elizabeth. We see that suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel in chapter 2, verse 13. Now, that didn't happen in the first century like it does in the 21st, where you can be watching a screen and all of a sudden somebody appears who wasn't there before. This wasn't like that. There wasn't a screen and nobody was watching TV. First, they were looking at the sky and there was nothing. And then they were looking at the sky and there was an angel. And then they were looking at the sky and the sky was full of angels. Just like that. That had to have been beyond astounding. And then they were gone. And now the shepherds are the ones that had to hurry. Because you need to be near if you want to hear the Christ child. The closer you get, the better you hear him. Now, while this stands to reason, it's something we often forget. Now, I must tell you, this is something that I remember more than most, I suppose, because of the issues that I have with hearing. I know that if I get right up close to somebody, I will much more likely make sense of what they're saying. It's, you know, I feel bad, like I'm in the gym and I was sweating and I couldn't wear my hearing aids. I'm in the locker room and somebody starts talking to me. And what am I supposed to say? I don't need my hearing aids. I can't hear. So what I do instead is I try to get a little closer, as close as is socially acceptable, because we are talking about a gym locker room. And so I can hear. And if I really don't get it, I just say, I just need you to repeat that. I'm sorry. And of course, what everybody does then is they start, the first four words are louder. And everything after that is the same volume it was before, and I still can't hear. So I just look for an appropriate place to laugh or something like that, or I go dig my hearing aids out or something. You may not have my issue as far as hearing with my physical ears, but a lot of us have trouble hearing with our spiritual ears. And even there, the closer you get to him, the better you will hear him. Even babies have something to say if you listen. Now, the shepherds found the child, but they found him in an unusual place. Susan was reading a devotion today where the fellow was saying that apparently it wasn't as unusual as you might think to put living things in mangers, except in this case, it was not unusual in the first century days to put lambs in the manger to keep them warm. And particularly, the lambs who would be raised spotless so that they could be the best of sacrifices. Now, I've never heard that before. So if that is in fact true, then that is a really, really interesting insight into the manger. But it's also true that the manger is a humble place, a lowly place, a place that no one chooses for a bed. And the bottom line is, as my next line in the outline says, you'll find him in the strangest places. You just never know. You may find him in a field. You may find him in a manger. A lot of us have different stories about where we found Jesus, and I'm sure some of them are unusual. Mine's not terrifically unusual, but it's a bit different. I didn't find Jesus by going to a church service. I didn't find Jesus by going to a church building. I did find Jesus by going to a church youth group. And that was unusual for me because, as I've told you before, back in those days, I didn't like people. I just didn't. People were messy, and it got on my nerves. And the only reason I went to the youth group was because I was invited by the head of the youth group, who was a friend of my parents, and they said I had to go. And they thought it would be interesting to me because I was into science, and they were showing a documentary on, wait for it, the Apollo moon landing. Which didn't happen last week, you know, about 40, 50 years ago. So, I went, but I kept going. I didn't keep going because they kept showing documentaries. I didn't keep going because they fed me with really good pizza. You can get pizza lots of places. I came because these people in this youth group seemed to be okay with me as I was, and they treated me as though they cared whether I was there or not. It was important to them. Now, the other thing that I've often said in my testimony is that at that time I was about 13, and most of them were 17 and 18. Now, you know, come on. 13 is like sixth grade. 17 and 18 is like junior, senior. Most juniors and seniors wouldn't be caught within a mile of a sixth grader. You can see it in school all the time. You can see the sixth graders doing sixth grader things and the juniors and seniors walking past and just, would I ever like that? Yeah, and you're like it now, more than you know. That's where I found Christ. Where did you? Was it an unusual place? Maybe a bit different? Because you see, not only are we looking for him, but he's looking for us. And sometimes we're in the strangest places. And that's where he has to go to find us. And he loves us enough to do it. In fact, I would imagine that we have absolutely no idea what it was like to give up heaven and come down to earth and be a human being. When you've been in heaven and the glory is beyond description and the power and majesty is beyond anyone's capacity to verbalize, and then you go down to become a baby in a manger. Talk about strange places. And he did that for you. Since this is the case, we need to be a good tracking system for people to find Christ. My last line in my bulletin before, for the outline, before the conclusion, says, be a GPS for others to locate him. GPSs don't find anything. GPSs can tell you directions. Then you got to go. Of course, if you ignore the GPS, you know, GPSs, I think they still do this, go recalibrate. They never say, You dope. Why didn't you make that turn? They say, recalibrate. Because we may take different routes. But in the end, if it's Christ we're talking about, we're heading in the same direction to the same goal. And we all get there the same way. We get there by means of the baby who became a man, who died for our sins. And we confess our sins. And we seek his forgiveness. And we trust in him for eternal life. And that's how we come. And once we've come, once we've seen the baby, once we've come, we need to tell others how to get there too, because maybe they're in a strange place and they don't know what to do and they don't know where to go and they don't even know what direction it is. They don't even know that they need to have a direction. They think it's just useless and hopeless, and who cares anyway? Nobody cares about me, and I don't like people. People are just a mess. And maybe I am too. And maybe you're the GPS in their life who can help them find their way to that manger. Maybe you need, and this is the conclusion, you need to recalibrate this Christmas. You need to track him. You need to keep track of him. You need to know that the Lord said, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Jeremiah 29:13. So this Christmas, recalibrate. Make sure you're on the right track. And if you are, good. Now help somebody else get on the right track. Be their tracking system. Maybe they won't listen to you. That's not your job. Your job is to give them the directions. Your job is not to tell them what a dope they are if they make a wrong turn. Your job is to say, this is the right way to go. It has worked for me. Jesus is everything to me. Think about that this Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come to you because you have given us the way. Your Son Jesus is the way. And you have given us the directions. We just need to find him and follow him. We need to hurry, and we need to draw close, because we'll hear him a lot better when we do. And Father, once we've found him, yet again, may we remember that like the shepherds, we need to go looking for others to tell the good news. In your name we pray. Amen.